Tonight we're going to look at one of Jesus' articles of clothing. So we're going to see how broke Jesus was. Okay? Psalm 22. We're going to read a messianic psalm. What I mean by a messianic psalm is a psalm that speaks prophetically of Christ hundreds of years before Jesus was born into the world. Okay? And this is David. And bless you. And in verse 1, he says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" Do those words sound familiar? Did Jesus say something to that effect on the cross? Didn't he say, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Okay, go down with me to verse... So verse 16, "For dogs have surrounded me, the assembly of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet, I can count all my bones, they look and stare at me." Notice verse 18, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Was that not fulfilled at the foot of the cross when Jesus was hanging, suspended on the cross? Amen? So let's take a look at that, all right? John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're going to, in a roundabout way, we're going to look at Jesus' financials tonight. It's kind of a random teaching, but it's been on my heart to share. John chapter 19, and let's begin reading with verse 20. "Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city of Jerusalem," understood there, "and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write the King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece." Verse 24, "They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Therefore the soldiers did these things." Now, notice they divided Jesus' clothing. Now we can look at it in the sense that they were mocking him, but I think there was value to his clothing for them to cast lots for his clothing. I mean, ask yourself this question to make it relevant. How many of y'all know what Poshmark is? Who has the app on your phone for Poshmark? I do. You can buy used, very expensive clothing for a very reduced price. So if you're broke, would your clothes make it on Poshmark?
No,
that's holy jeans. Those are the more expensive ones today. So then why are the soldiers casting lot for Jesus' seamless tunic? It was very good. See, and you say you're not smart. Are you kidding me? I bet you could teach this. That was a very expensive article of clothing. Jesus' seamless tunic. It was an undergarment. Take note of this. We'll come back to this point at the end of the message, but only the high priest wore that undergarment. Aaron, the first earthly high priest, wore a seamless tunic under all of his priestly garb, which was super, super expensive. How many of y'all know that when God gave Solomon the specifications, and David, his father, the specs for the temple, they were not made of cheap materials?
Amen.
Gold, silver, the best of it. Do you realize that during Solomon's time, there was so much gold that King Solomon said, "We see no value in silver," and just devalued all the silver in the land. Can we talk money? Can we talk value? Can we talk some of this without us kind of, here he goes? So there was value in that because Jesus was portraying himself as the, and he is that, because we just came off of a series that talked about how Jesus is our high priest, right? That he enters the heavenly temple on our behalf. He does not enter the temple, the holiest of all, with the blood of a bull or a goat or a heifer, but by his own blood. Didn't we just come off of that series that we saw all that in detail? And so Jesus wore that expensive. So let me ask you, if it's expensive, how did Jesus buy it? Or if it was given to him, if Jesus was so turned on about poverty, why did he wear it? Why, as Judas once told him, did he not sell that valuable tunic and give to the poor? So notice, and then remember when Mary Magdalene broke that nard of expensive perfume, and Judas comes running to Jesus and said, "Lord, how can you let her..." You know, I don't know how many... Go with me to John, since we're in John 19, go with me to John 12. Let's just read it, okay? Because Judas objected to that. And it was several months. John chapter 12. 300 denarii was almost... It was like two-thirds of a year's wage. Okay, let's stop. Stop and think with me. That's what that perfume was worth. If that perfume was worth two-thirds of a year's wage, just in your mind, calculate what your wage is a year and calculate two-thirds. Would you spend that much money on perfume? Absolutely not. And Jesus allowed that woman to pour it on his head. Right? So if Jesus is so turned on by poverty... Verse 1, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii?" Now stop there. Let's stop there. I'm going to give you a cross-reference. John chapter 6, verse 7. We'll turn there after this passage, okay? Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but he was the thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Then Jesus said, "Let her alone," or "Leave her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Wow. Okay, so how much did it cost? 300 denarii. Turn with me to John chapter 6. So far, so good, everybody? Interesting? Good. We learn, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Good. John chapter 6. Remember, Jesus is going to feed 5,000 men, not including women and children. And he tells the disciples to feed them. And then Philip responds in verse 7. He said, Philip answered him, said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So what is 200 denarii? Another translation says 6 months' worth of salary, of wages. Does anybody's translation read that way?
Half a year's wages,
good enough.
Mine says 8 months.
8 months? Okay, 8 months. So as a reference, if it is 6 to 8 months worth of wages, how much is 300 denarii? Huh? A lot. And Philip was saying, we have the money. Do you want us to go buy bread? But even if we bought bread at 200 denarii at 6 to 8 months' wages, he said, we couldn't pay for all the bread. We'd be feeding people just little small portions of bread. Do we ever stop and think about that? So how much would, in proportion to, if 200 denarii is 6 months to 8 months worth, and if 300 denarii is probably more, probably 10 to 12 months, then how did Jesus, let me ask you a question. Who has in liquid assets right now about 12 months worth of wages for you to go to the bank and just draw from? I don't. Are we getting a sense of perspective? So let me ask you a question. Where did Jesus get all this money? I mean, if he had a treasure, now stop and think, church family. If Judas was ripping Jesus off, if he was dipping into the till, there had to have been so much money in that till that people didn't find out he was ripping him off. Right? Okay, go with me to Luke chapter 10. It's quiet. I love it when it gets quiet because it says, maybe I've been reading it a little wrong.
Luke 10?
Luke 10. Luke 8, sorry. Hey, I don't have notes. Give me a break. Luke 8.
What verse?
I'm gonna begin reading with verse 1. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Notice verse 2. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Now, okay, stop there. And Susanna and many others who had provided for him from their substance. Does not another translation say they provided financial support? Huh?
Yeah, so
out of their means.
Out of their means?
But it's money, right? Okay, so the same gal that broke the opened the box of perfume that cost 200-300 denarii, almost a year's worth of wages, and Jesus allowed her to wash his feet with that, was one that supported them, Mary Magdalene. Why was she called Magdalene? From a city, Magdala, where there was great commerce. So she was a person of means. Notice, it was the women that had the money. Who's ever seen that George Jetson, the Jetsons cartoon? The lady, the wife wants a dollar bill, and he opens his wallet. He has the dollar bill to give her. She takes the wallet. He's left with them. That's George Jetson and wife Judy. Jane, his wife.
Judy went to jobs.
Right along, notice, Joanna, the wife of Chuza. Who was Chuza? Herod, King Herod's main manager. This is the king's right-hand man. Not unlike what Joseph was to Pharaoh. So let me ask you, how much money did Herod pay Chuza?
Yeah.
Tons of money. So it begs the question, doesn't it make you wonder how much money his wife, Joanna, was supplying Jesus with? I'm assuming it's quiet because we haven't thought along these lines.
Yeah.
Right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All righty.
He worked like all evangelists work.
That's right. He worked like all evangelists work.
He appeared in a town. They're supported by that town.
Right. That's right. Say it again out loud, please.
I said that Jesus was your first evangelist.
Yes.
And evangelists today, they come to towns, and a lot of times, sometimes they have a fee, but most of the time it's free will offering.
Right. Free will offering.
And that's how him and the disciples gathered.
Right.
Money to be free will offerings.
Okay, so if Jesus was broke, how could he feed 12 people? 13, including himself. His needs were being supplied. And we're seeing one means that God used to fund Jesus' ministry. Because how many of y'all know that ministry costs money? Was Jesus using it to reach people?
Yes.
Now, there's a scripture people often allude to that, you know, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man, he was not talking about him not having a place to stay. In fact, in Mark chapter 3, you will find that Jesus crashed at Peter's house. It's known as not just any regular house. If you're reading the King James Version, it says it is the house. It uses a definite article referring to the house that Jesus would stay in. In Capernaum, which was Peter's house. Okay.
Not bad for a fisherman.
Now, some of you are thinking, where are you going with this? Okay, so let's talk about some lessons about this, okay? Number one, God is not against us having nice things. No amens. Who believes that God is not against us having nice things? Okay, can I provide illustrations? What about when he led them through the wilderness and the next generation led them into the promised land? Did any of the Israelites have to build their own houses?
No.
Did they have to dig their own wells? Did they have to plant their own gardens? Who did these houses formerly belong to? Giants. Were these big houses? Were they nice houses?
With running water.
Okay, so let me ask you, is God turned on about with poverty? Yoo-hoo. It's just a little straight talk. Is that okay? Okay, but it always comes with a purpose, right? Financial prosperity comes with financial responsibility. God doesn't mind feathering our nest, but it's more, God prospers us to do more than just feather our nests. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. So far, so good?
Yes.
Are we learning new things?
Yes.
Can I ask that again? Are we learning new things?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get what?
Wealth.
That He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Okay? So, God gave these Israelites the ability to get wealth. A lot of that was favor. That it was free. They walked into houses that were already built. Good, strong houses. Giants used to live in these houses. Right? Great gardens. The best of the land, which is now Israel, the best of the land belonged to the people of God. Right? And none of them had to work for it, did they? Now, that's not to say that we don't work. God does not honor laziness. Can I get a witness? Thank you. He who doesn't work shouldn't eat, is what 2 Thessalonians says. Right? So let's go back to this. So He gives us the ability to get wealth, to gain wealth, with what purpose? That we might establish His covenant on planet Earth. Isn't that what we call preaching the gospel?
Amen.
You know, I was once at a Billy Graham School of Evangelism. I've gone to like two or three of them, especially when we lived in Kansas. They used to have them in Denver, Colorado. And I'm telling you, the American church is blessed. Because they, at the time that I went, it was the year 2000, and one gentleman gave a figure. This, remember, this is a very reputable school. Billy Graham was alive then, in the year 2000, and one of the teachers of this school said that he had done research. He quoted research statistics, and guess how much in the decade of the 90s alone, guess how much the American church spent on building new buildings? $90 million. $90 million. Who would say that's a lot? Can you imagine? You know, that's America. How blessed are we? In other countries, if you dug a well and they had running water, pure water, man, they'd rejoice. That would make their year. That would make their next 20. That would make their lives. Because some kids are drinking polluted water and coming down with diseases because of that, right? So
probably one thing that hurts our country part of the time, we are too blessed.
We are too blessed, yes, sir.
We don't know what some of the hardships and stuff that some people really have to go through.
Right. Okay, so let's scale it down to you and me, since God blesses us with a purpose. How many of y'all would agree with me here? No matter what you make, whatever you make, how many of you would you raise your hand with me and say, I'm very blessed? Man. So what, if I can phrase it this way, applying it to myself, I'm sure you guys give much more than I do. What good does the little I give, and I say that in parentheses, I know that's a relative term. What good or what difference does the little I give make in the overall scheme of things? Okay, so let me close with a story. There was this town village where everybody contributed of the fruit of their vineyards, because vineyardry, I don't know, whatever you call that, husbandry, was the main source of income in this village. And people would tend their village and would bring portions of their grapes to be stomped on to make wine for the village to sell to other villages, okay? And so throughout the course of times, a couple of families started thinking, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. We should take a break and not give our share this year. Well, then year after year, more families began to join in that mentality to where, you know, there was nothing left to sell. You know, if I had the attitude that what I gave is nothing, and if everybody began to have that attitude, how much would we have to give to the cause of the kingdom? Nothing. You know, the sad part is what was the first miracle Jesus performed? Water to wine. Well, this village kind of did the opposite. They reversed it. They turned it from wine to water. Right? Because everybody had the attitude, what is my bringing my share of grapes? What difference does that make?
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
I'm going to read this story where one town, I don't remember where it was at, and I don't remember what country, but they had excess apple crop.
Right.
The people took and made sacks of them and hung them on the outside of the fence.
Right.
And anybody that needed and was hungry could come along and take a bag of apples.
Right.
So really, what we're talking about is really what made me think of that.
Right.
And I think God prospers you as long as you use your money.
Yes.
I don't know how, I just want to say it. But as long as you use your money to benefit,
yes,
not only yourself,
right,
but benefit others.
Others, absolutely. Amen to that.
They say little as much when God is in it.
Little as much when God is in it. So true. Good teaching, guys? Did we learn something new? All right, let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, for your word. Lord, just a closer look at the Gospels reveals so much to us. Truly, you provided for your Son, Father, for all of his needs, for all of the needs of his disciples, and all of the needs of their families, of these 12 men's families. Lord, thank you for revealing truth to us, Lord, that you prosper us with a purpose. And that purpose is to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. For that we're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.